He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Wednesday. It is the Wednesday special. It is the special edition. Not really. It's a regular edition, but it feels special. Of the Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager, Bill Gunderson of Southport Capital. We've got our second rebound day in a row after two sell-off days last Friday and on Monday to the tune of over 700 points. Well, I think we're back to where we were on Monday. The Dow's up 251 right now, 34,763. There we are, almost struggling with 35,000 again. Just 237 points away from that, which maybe we get there tomorrow or Friday. Who knows? But the Dow is back to 34,773 after taking a trip below 35,000 for a short while on Monday. S&P up 25. It's closing in on its all-time high. S&P's at 43.48. NASDAQ's up 60. Not as good as the other two indexes. Netflix, one of the big NASDAQ stocks, kind of failed to impress yesterday. NASDAQ is up 60, however, 14,559. The small caps are roaring back. There's good value there. They're up 32 today to 22.26. That's the Russell 2000. Crude oil coming back a bit, up $2, 69.20. I think those concerns about the COVID variant were overblown, at least as it relates to the market and the economy. Gold down 660, and the all-important 10-year yield really bounding back up here. It's up 7 basis points today to 1.27. The market likes rising interest rates at this level. And Bitcoin's back above 30,000. Hallelujah, 31,595. It's up 2,100 today. So welcome to the Best Stocks Now show with the professional money manager, Bill Gunderson, managing portfolios for the last 21 years. We had a huge day in the market yesterday. It was a big rebound day after Monday's sell-off of 720 points. We gained back 550 yesterday. Well, and with the 270 today, that means we're back 820 in the last 2 days. We're 100 points ahead of where we were on Monday's close. We also had a big day in the S&P yesterday, up 65 points. And today we're tacking on another 30 points or so as we attack 4,400 again. That's the current resistance on the S&P 500. The Dow, current resistance, 35,000, okay? That's what the Dow keeps bumping its head against and not being able to push its way through. But we're making another attempt at it. And, of course, we had interest rates fall clear down to 1.18 on Monday. Now we're back to 1.27, almost 1.28 now. On the 10-year, I said on Monday, when interest rates settle down a bit, the market will settle down a bit. And I thought maybe Monday was the day, kind of the washout day, the overbought day for that bond market. And we are settling now. Bitcoin, which lost its battle with 30,000, has regained it at least for the day. It's above 30,000. It's at 31,000, a little bit over that. There's a big conference today with Kathy Wood, Elon Musk, some other stars out there, media stars, market stars. They're going to do a conference called the B Word, Bitcoin. And I think that's got Bitcoin all excited here today. Well, okay, where do we go? We've got a lot of earnings to talk about here today. We have a couple of big, big winners in the market so far with these earnings reports. The Delta variant now accounts for 83% of new cases. Now, people that I've talked to, that have gotten this Delta variant. It's very fast moving, not much more than, you know, a bad cold. But I'm just taking that from a small sample. But I think that the market selling off like it did on Friday and Monday, thinking that, you know, maybe this would turn into something like what we saw early last year, I think it was a big overreaction. And, in fact, Bank of America agrees with me today. How about that? Bank of America securities economist Stephen Juneau, and Michelle Mayer write in a note today, data still point to a strong ongoing recovery, but downside risk have clearly risen. They say that the Delta variant is hitting sentiment, but not spending yet. And I would add another line to that. It definitely hit sentiment on Friday and Saturday, or on Monday, but it did not hit earnings expectations at all. In fact, earnings expectations improved last week. And with the earnings reports that I've seen here so far this week, I think you're going to see earnings expectations go up again for this year, the following year, and the year after that. And I've always said that it's earnings that the market always comes back to. What's the difference between sentiment and actual fundamentals? Well, sentiment's all in your head, and it's in your heart, and it's in your stomach sometimes, right? Fear and greed, those are sentiment factors. Most times, people that get caught up and let either one of these emotions get the best of them, fear or greed, they have no clue where the fundamentals of the market are. And I would say the most important fundamental of the market is the valuation numbers and the expectations going forward. Are the expectations going forward still good going into next year and the year after that? Are we starting to see a peak? Are we starting to see a top? Now, we did hear some talk of that last Friday. There was some talk that this current earnings expansion and economic expansion, which has been going on since 2009, there was some talk that it was going to that it was peaking and topping out. But it wasn't showing up in the earnings estimates. The sentiment, okay, the thinking was that we were topping out, but the numbers were not backing up the sentiment. So once again, Bank of America says the Delta variant surge is hitting sentiment, in other words, emotions, but not spending yet, and I would add to that, not earnings expectations, nor is it impacted earnings yet. Okay, one of the big things we're always watching for, one of the big events, it happened in 2000, the big bear market in the NASDAQ, when the NASDAQ went down 79%. We had the big 2008-2009 crash. So I'm always listening to what other folks have to say about the chances for a bear market around the next corner. Well, Leon Cooperman, he's been around for quite some time, chairman and CEO of Omega Advisors. He said Tuesday that the conditions for a bear market just are not present. And I would agree with that. You know, we did have a big sell-off Friday and Saturday. And, of course, you've always have to do a gut check. You have to go back and look at your numbers again, which I'm forced to look at my numbers every week because I produce a newsletter. I produce that newsletter mostly for myself. It pushes me down and forces me down every little nook and cranny of the market to make sure that my thesis on the market is still correct. I can see if there's any, you know, bolts coming off the engine or nuts that are loose, besides myself being a loose nut sometimes. But it keeps me on track of where we're at with the market, with the earnings, with the fundamentals, with the expectations going forward. And it helps me cut through the sentiment, which really dominates the headlines and dominates the financial shows and dominates the financial channels. You know, they get listeners through fear and greed, okay? They appeal to each one of those sentiment issues that we all face, and that's how they bring in listeners and watchers to their programs. But guys like me, I can just tell you that I turn off the sound. I have it on in the background, but I don't listen. And I look at the actual numbers to cut through that sentiment. Otherwise, I might be sucked in and wooed and swayed in and influenced by the sentiment that flails about wildly in the market. I let the numbers be my guide. And when we come back, talk a little bit about that and a little bit about Amazon yesterday and the controversy surrounding that with Bezos. Little jaunt into the atmosphere and beyond yesterday. This is Bill Gunderson. We'll be right back. Back here to the second quarter of the best stocks now, with the Dow up 245 right now, S&P up 24, and the NASDAQ up 59. Of course, this comes on the heels of yesterday's big rebound. On Monday, after that 729-point drubbing, I tweeted out at the end of the day, I said, this is an overreaction by the market to the COVID variant, Delta variant. Well, so far, that has proved to be pretty good advice, and the market has come back quite a bit. Okay, yesterday, it was all over the financial channels. Jeff Bezos' flight, 66 miles. He had only went 66 miles, but it was straight up, okay. 66 miles straight up is a little bit different than 66 miles horizontally. The Blue Origin capsule flew to about 66 miles to pass the highly regarded Kármán space boundary line and clearly enter into zero gravity space. That is a higher level than the 53 miles of altitude for Virgin Galactic's flight earlier this month. Well, you think there's a little bit of competition there between Bezos, who likes to win, obviously, if you've ever read about Bezos and some of his habits. And the guy is motivated, to say the least, and he did beat Branson out and going higher than Branson. But will this ever be a profitable venture? You know, there is a publicly traded stock out there, Virgin Galactic, SPCE, where you can actually, I mean, wouldn't it be comparable to an airline pretty much? Will they ever be able to launch enough people and have regular flights and be a profitable venture? Well, I'm going to keep my powder dry on that for now. And there's also several ETFs right now that cover this space whole adventure and space travel. And, of course, Bezos wants to set up, you know, basically a space highway for folks to travel in. But, you know, the one thing that I did notice, a few things there. I mean, he's coming under a little controversy today. He's talking about how the customers of Amazon paid for his flight. And did you know that? You helped pay for his flight, and also the employees at Amazon helped pay for the flight and make it possible. It's coming under a little fire for that. And, of course, Jeff Bezos is the owner of the Washington Post, and we know which side of the aisle the Washington Post sits on. The Amazon founder also said that it was a profound experience to realize that the atmosphere is a tiny little fragile thing that humans are damaging. So he also used it, you know, to politicize a little bit climate change and whatnot. But, you know, all in all, is it having any impact on Amazon stock today? Amazon is down $3.48 or 0.1%, so very little impact. If anything, it was a little bit negative, his comments about the customers and the employees helping to make it possible by helping to pay for it. It wasn't a cheap flight. I don't know what it cost. I mean, like somewhere, I guess we'll find out how much that little 66-mile trip took. I'm sure it cost a lot more than a 66-mile trip, you know, in an SUV, for sure. ARK investors observed the most significant three-month outflows of the 150 major ETF issuers. Kathy Wood and ARK Investment Management have found themselves hemorrhaging fund flows. Over the past 3 months, ARK, compared to the other 150 major ETF issuers, finds itself to be the leading issuer in three-month investor outflows. Well, you know, it's hot money, and she's chasing hot stocks. I mean, she's chasing the Virgin Galactics of the world and the Coinbases of the world and Palantir and a lot of stocks that are very, 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 very expensive. They're in that thin blue atmosphere, or whatever you want to call it, as far as valuations go. And when the market is go-go, which maybe we're getting back a little go-go into the market right now, those stocks do very well. They had a great year last year. She had a phenomenal year. And then she took on a lot of water in February and March to the tune of about 35 to 40%. And people fled. And, then it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy because she's got to sell the stocks that make up her ETFs. The stocks go down. A lot of those stocks are pretty thinly traded. A lot of the big moves in those stocks last year were her continually buying and putting the kind of volume that she brings to these stocks. And, of course, it works the same the other way. As money flows out, she's got to sell those underneath stocks. So she was at about $65 billion in assets under management, nothing to sneeze at, but now she's at about $42 billion in assets under management. Okay, I was talking about the big Bitcoin conference today. It launches at noon Eastern Standard Time, and it is aimed at demystifying Bitcoin for the masses and bringing more institutional investment on board, okay? There's one of the big problems with Bitcoin. The institutions, the big giant money investors, the Fidelities and the Vanguards of the world and Bank of America and Merrill Lynch and more, they've pretty much shunned the Bitcoin. I don't have any investments in Bitcoin, but they're trying to get the institutions involved. Well, they're bringing on a pretty big, heavy hitter panel, including Kathy Wood, the aforementioned Kathy Wood, Jack Dorsey. You probably heard of him. You know, he's Twitter and Square. Elon Musk will be there. You probably heard of him. He's what's his space company? I can't think of the name right now, but he's got his space company. He's got Tesla. He's got Solar City and all kind, the Boring Company, etc. But the event features a long history also of heavy hitters in the crypto world, like Adam Back, Nick Carter, Jameson Lopp, and Matt O'Dell. Seeking Alpha will be covering the conference live if you want to watch, including the talk, Bitcoin as a Tool for Economic Empowerment, between Kathy Wood, Jack Dorsey, and Musk, scheduled for 2 p.m. Eastern Time. There's a little plug for Seeking Alpha, where I'm a regular contributor and one of the top-ranked contributors in the top 4%, right around there, of all of the contributors to Seeking Alpha. Okay, I talked yesterday about a little biotech that had a promising new treatment. They received breakthrough designation from the FDA for a treatment, possible treatment for fibromyalgia. The symbol Neuro. Wow, that thing took off yesterday. What went faster into space yesterday? Jeff Bezos or Neuro? Neuro is up another 232% today. It's up $23 per share. It began the week at about $4 per share. Now it's $33 per share. Nuro, N-U-R-O. I do not have a position in it, but, you know, when you make a hit like that, a potential hit, that's what happens. We'll be right back. Welcome back here to the second half of the Best Stocks Now show. Well, to me, this is the story of the day. I get up pretty early every morning. I put in about 3 hours, a little over 3 hours of research into my show each day. But that research serves two purposes. I'm also a professional money manager, and I'm always looking. You know, what do they say? The early bird gets the worm, you know. The early bird finds the story before the others finally figure it out one way or another, either a bad story or a good story. And that's what I'm in search of every morning, our best stocks now, new stories on existing stocks that might change my, you know, the way I look at a stock. And I found one this morning that really, really, really caught my eye, okay? And it's not about a little-known stock either. It's a big stock that has a new twist, and I like it, okay? I'm a guy that likes recurring revenue models. And you can bring in that money, you know, look at all the streamers that are out there right now. Apple iPhone, just with the upgrades there for a long time, had a huge recurring revenue model of people trading in the old iPhone to get the new iPhone, et cetera, et cetera. Well, up until now, I mean, Tesla has been a traditional car company. They sell the car. There's no recurring revenue unless, of course, you trade up your car at some point. But that's the same model that GM or Ford has. Well, here's an electric vehicle shocker. Morgan Stanley weighs in on Tesla's new self-driving offering for $199 a month or $99 per month for enhanced autopilot users. What do you get? Well, you get a subscription to their new full self-driving offering. It's a subscription. Analyst Adam Jonas and team think very few investors explicitly model or value the recurring software revenue Tesla is currently deriving from its installed base of more than 1.5 million vehicles today. That base is expected to grow to 30 to 40 million vehicles by 2030, over the next 9 years. Morgan Stanley believes that it is possible that the value of Tesla's recurring software revenue may exceed the value of its hardware business. You see why that article caught my eye? They went on to say, over time, we anticipate a wide-ranging suite of services rolled out to Tesla users and increasing financial disclosure from the company to help transition analysis and stock coverage away from traditional auto analysts, okay, that's Ford and GM, towards a tech platform analysis. In our opinion, this transition can help drive a further re-rating of the shares over time. Morgan Stanley puts out a new price target on Tesla of $900. Tesla is flat today, trading at $660. But that recurring revenue model that is being rolled out, I agree with Morgan Stanley. That could be a very, very lucrative type of offering there. So I'll be looking at this. I'll be looking at their modeling and how much they think that can add to revenues. But, you know, it's always good to have a recurring revenue stream coming in, no matter how the car sales are doing, because they're pretty choppy, right? Up and down, up and down. Well, anyways, Tesla in my Best Stocks Now app. Let's take a look and see where it is currently ranked. It's up against 5,418 other entries in my app. It currently ranks at number 223 out of 5,817. It is a Best Stock Now with a new story to tell, and we'll be watching it very closely. Okay, here's one of the worries you have in the market. This Piedmont Lithium, which that's the company that Tesla signed a deal with to supply a steady supply of lithium, so they never had to worry about it. And I want to say it's in North Carolina. Is that where it is? Yeah, Belmont, North Carolina. Well, now the town folks are all upset. The county commissioners say that they may block the mine. This was a hot stock. I mean, when Piedmont Lithium, this was a $5 stock in 2018 when it went public. It's been as high as $89. I mean, to be a big lithium supplier to Tesla, that was a big deal. But five out of seven Gaston County, North Carolina board commissioners say they may block or delay the lithium recovery company's planned lithium mine. Oh, the stock is getting hit today. In fact, it looks to me like the stock is halted right now after going down about 25% yesterday. So there's a bad story I found. I don't own Piedmont Lithium, but it is not good news for people chasing that stock. Okay, speaking of recurring revenue and recurring revenue models. Well, Netflix obviously turned the video business upside down, with it, which one day was, Hollywood Video and Blockbuster, et cetera, which was a one-time rental. You know, you went in, you had to make a trip. There was a lot of deterrence to making that trip. You had to return it, and, really Netflix started out with the idea of, hey, let's just do it through the mail instead of having to drive on a Sunday night to beat that late fee. Oh, I'll do anything to beat a late fee, Anyways, Netflix came along with that model. Then that started to morph and take off from there into a revenue subscription model. And I remember the first time they raised their price, I remember the stock just took a whacking. Nobody's going to pay that for Netflix. Well, it kept on going and going and going and going to what it is today, the biggest streaming company in the world. Now, there is a lot of competition, yes, out there for that for those subscriptions. But Netflix came up a little bit short. I do not currently own Netflix. It is a FANG stock. They signed up just 3.5 million new members. They missed their earnings by 19 cents, and the stock is down 3.9%. And I think that's the biggest reason you're seeing underperformance by the NASDAQ today versus the Dow. Not by much. But as I look across the spectrum at the big FANG stocks, there's not much lift in them today. And, of course, Netflix being down 4%, that's one of the big ones, one of the big horses there in the NASDAQ. And they failed to impress yesterday with their earnings, which can be choppy. It's hard to keep that up, that kind of growth and new subscribers coming in all the time. Okay, a stock that continues to be on a roll, Target. Target hitting a new all-time high today. It's ranked number 47 out of 5,814 in my BestStocksNowApp.com. What's going on at Target? They're going to roll out Ulta Beauty shops in shops next month. Well, Ulta Beauty has a large following. It's been a good stock on its own. And Target is going to have some Ulta Beauty shops within the Target stores. Each Ulta shop will be about 1,000 square feet. And that is helping Target to a new all-time high today. Not by much, but it had a huge day yesterday, breaking out to a new all-time high. And, you know, you got to hand it to Target. I mean, they take on Walmart. They take on Bed Bath and Beyond. They take on Amazon, obviously. And they've held their own. That's been a great performing stock. Their earnings growth over the last 5 years, 14% per year. They're expected to continue to grow. They pay a dividend yield of 1.4%. And the stock hit a new all-time high. It's now a $126 billion market cap company. Okay, one more before we go to break here. A couple of big, stodgy old stocks, Verizon, Coca-Cola report. You know me. The name of my show is Best Stocks Now. Maybe if you were listening to the show 30 years ago, I'd have said there's a great new stock called Coca-Cola or a great new stock called Verizon. That was then. This is now. Now they're big dividend payers. But they, you know, when you're growing at 2 or 3% a year, you just can't provide the kind of returns to investors that you used to. When we come back, we'll have our featured stock of the day. This is Bill Gunderson.
You got to go where you want to go.
And welcome back here to the final segment of the Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson. Market's about the same where they opened this morning. NASDAQ is a little softer than the Dow. It is up 54, but I think Netflix earnings put a little bit of a chill into the NASDAQ. It's also impacting the S&P. The Russell 2K, on the other hand, the small caps, they're up 1.3% right now. I see good value in the small cap index right now. Just, you know, I do a target price every week for the S&P 600 along with the S&P 500 and definitely the better values in the S&P 600 over the next couple years. Nice rebound day, second day in a row. Of course, it's all about the close. We have a lot of time between now and the end of the market today. But as of now, it's the second rebound day in a row after the two big down days, Friday and Saturday. Our featured stock of the day is proof that best stocks now come from all walks of life. I've had people say, you know, this isn't a very exciting stock, a company that owns 209 car dealerships in 22 states, offering 33 brands of new and used cars and light trucks. It sounds like a TV commercial. Go see Cal, go see Cal, go see Cal. Well, you know what? Some of the wealthiest people I've known individually over the years have been people that own car dealerships. And it's a very profitable model. Lithia Motors is a consolidator of car dealerships, LAD. They're headquartered in Medford, Oregon. And this stock has done pretty well over the years as a consolidator. You know, there's been a lot of consolidators that have come along in different industries. There's one in the chiropractic industry, J-Y-N-T, Joint. That thing's been a pretty good performer. They're a franchiser and consolidator, 513 chiropractic clinics. But I'm not here to talk about Joint here today, J-Y-N-T. I'm here to talk about Lithia Motors, a stock that's currently ranked number 185 out of 5,817, and we currently own it in our ultra growth portfolio. It's expected to continue to grow and continue to consolidate auto dealerships. The earnings over the next 5 years are estimated to be anywhere between 20 to 30% per year. Okay, growth like that is not easy to find. The forward P.E. ratio on the stock is currently 13.8, so you get a very favorable PEG ratio of under 1. I have a $710 target price on the stock with no guarantees going forward. That's based on expectations. And, of course, the company has to meet those or beat those expectations. But Lithia is having a huge day today. It's up $25 a share. That's a 7.1% move as earnings came in stronger than expected. Now, this is the second one. The last one that did this blew away earnings. Was it America's Car Mart or was it KMT or was it ABG? Might have been ABG. Yeah, it's doing well, too. With interest rates where they are, and with the shortage in the new car industry, you know, I drove by a new car lot dealership the other day, and I just noticed there weren't as many cars parked in their showroom and around the showroom. There continues to be the chip shortage. And I think that's helped a lot of these, you know, used car. I mean, one of the hottest stocks in the market continues to be that darn Carvana, CVNA. It's just become a pure momentum stock trading on thin air. But it is what it is. LAD actually has fundamentals underneath it. It has a P.E. ratio of just 12, okay? I don't think... Carvana is even profitable yet. I think Carvana is still losing money, yes. They'll lose 65 cents per share this year, but it continues to trade on thin air. Carvana is a $326 stock. Lithia Motors is a $379 stock, but with fundamentals underneath it, and pretty cheap fundamentals. The stock also has some pretty good momentum and outperformance going forward, which is another requirement I have. Over the last 12 months, it's up 103%, while the market's up just 33%. And over the last 3 years, this stock has delivered a return to investors of 67% per year, while the market's been 15.3%, with no guarantees going forward. But when you add together the current valuation and the current performance, Lithia comes in at number 185. It's been as high as number 65 9 months ago. But, you know, you have to watch it. It is a consumer, not cyclical, but a discretionary consumer stock. Buying cars is an expensive piece of merchandise for the family, but the car dealers are doing very, very well right now. Not so much the car makers, but the car dealers doing very well. So we'll make Lithia, L-A-D, LAD, our featured stock of the day. Well, we've been busy. We have been hit with a lot of people with interest, and we're getting back to everybody. I'm even talking to people. I'm even taking a few appointments these days to, you know, to help out. So if you would like to make an appointment with us at Southport Capital, my advisors that have been trained, you know, in my methodology, you can reach us at 855-611-BEST. That's 855-611-BEST. Or you can sample the newsletter where most of this material comes from for my show daily, because at the end of the week, I encapsulate it all and summarize it all along with a whole lot more technical analysis, my macro outlook, the stocks I'm buying and selling. And I offer out 2 free weeks to anybody who asks at GundersonCapital.com, GundersonCapital.com. Or if you've listened to us for quite some time and now you're ready to talk to us, we are active. We're a bit more active than your passive managers out there that are just putting together computer models of asset allocations, which completely ignore what's going on in the world, okay? It's based on age. Anyways, I believe in being more active than that. This is Bill Gunderson, 855-611-BEST or Gunderson Capital. com. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.